Have you ever talked about yourself in the third person? Have you ever talked about yourself in the third person? Now, there was an episode in Seinfeld years ago about that. The other morning, I was getting ready for work, and Sally was getting ready for work, and it was kind of interesting. We were in the bathroom. We actually use the same bottom to our toothbrush. It's an electric toothbrush, but we have different brushes for the top. And Sally was brushing her teeth, and when she got done brushing her teeth, she handed the toothbrush over to me, and I took her top off and put mine on and went to go brush, and the battery is empty. I mean, it was done. It was gone. And I looked at her, and I said, "The battery's dead." And she said, "Well, yeah, you got to plug it into the charger." And I looked at her, and I said, "Jimmy doesn't plug things into the charger." She goes, "Well, you got to get the charger." I said, "Jimmy doesn't know where the charger is." And she goes, "Jimmy doesn't know a lot of things." So I said, "Well, Jimmy needs some help here. Where's the charger?" And she said, "Jimmy should know where the charger is. He's had it for 10 years now." And I said, "Well, let me tell you something. Jimmy doesn't know where it is, and what am I supposed to do? Jimmy's got to brush his teeth. What are we going to do?" She goes, "Jimmy needs a lot of help." You know what? Whether you want to admit it or not, whether you want to say that you've ever done it out loud, you all probably have talking about yourself in the third person. If you've ever rationalized a behavior, justified a behavior, or had a resentment, which, by the way, I know all of you, you probably did, you have talked about yourself in the third person. And you've talked about yourself in the third person because within inside you, in a sense, is the person or the self that you have created and the self that God has created. And in those two selves, which, by the way, the scripture's clear, we're supposed to die to ourselves, that we're supposed to get rid of that and start to bring them together. You know what? Usually we have those third-party conversations with ourselves about ourselves. I mean, you all have done that. I guarantee some of you did it on the way here today. How was traffic through that whole debacle down the road? Did anybody cut you off? I bet you there were some of you who said to yourself, "What the heck's this guy doing?" And then you thought you'd say something and you had a conversation with inside your own brain about what was going on. And then if you did have an encounter, which at 8:30, it was funny. I had a guy come up to me and said, "That happened to me in the parking lot of Publix this morning." He goes, "I'm still talking to myself about it." The truth of the matter is you sort of try and defend that self of yours that you created instead of embracing the self that God created. And those selves that God created and you created are supposed to work together. And yet, many, many times, the self that we created gets in the way of the self that God's created. Do you ever get like that? Do you ever have those third-party conversations? You probably never called it that. But the truth of the matter is where you rationalize, justify, or, you know, get resentful of something, then you probably had a third-party conversation right in the smack in your own brain. Which, by the way, you've heard me say this 1,000 times, but I'll say it again. My brain is a bad neighborhood to grow up in. It needs neighborhood watch. The truth of the matter is that's what we do as human beings, and yet we're called to move beyond that, to become a little bit less what we are right now and turn into a little bit more what we are supposed to be, to be transformed. But how do you get there? You know, it's interesting because when I read the scripture for today, it's a story. Once again, it's Second Epiphany. And so it's a story of Jesus and the baptism. And it's a story in the Gospel of John where John tells of how he saw Jesus and how God the Father pointed out that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, that he was supposed to baptize to encourage him along in the way of becoming the Messiah. He says he saw the man and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He saw the Spirit descend upon him. And he's talking to two of his disciples. Now, it's interesting because while he's talking to two of the disciples, all of a sudden Jesus walks by the River Jordan once again and John sees him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." At this, we're told that the two disciples begin to follow Jesus. As they are following Jesus, we find out that one of them is Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and the other guy, I don't know, is probably your name. And they're following along, and what happens? Jesus sees that he's being stalked, and he turns around and he looks at them and he says, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" You know, why does Jesus say, "What are you looking for?" He doesn't say, "What do you want?" He says, "What are you looking for?" I think it's very, very interesting that he says it that way, because I think what he's saying to them is, "What are you looking for? Are you looking for a Messiah to fix your outside life, to get things in order? Or are you looking for a Messiah to make you whole? Are you looking for a Messiah that sort of will just sort of straighten out all the things that if you had your whole life straightened out, life would be fine? If your spouse would just do what you told them to do, if, you know, your 401k worked the way it was supposed to, if the government worked the way it was supposed to, well, then my life would be fine. Or are you looking for a Messiah to make you whole?" You know, I'll be upfront with you. I think a lot of us look for the Messiah, for God, to fix our outside life. I mean, I think that's probably the majority of what most of us pray about, is moving, get this straightened out. And we have the little conversation, sometimes third party with ourselves, sometimes, you know, with him, and we pray and we give him our long list of all the things that we need straightened out. You know, get my kids in order, get this done, get this. And we give that long shopping list. How's that working for you, as Dr. Phil would say? I mean, how is that working for you? Because the truth of the matter is, even in the time of Jesus, let's put it on the line here. Jesus came, the Messiah comes. Did the world get straightened out right then? Did the disciples, their lives, their actual lives, they were transformed, yes. But did their outside circumstances get much better? I mean, I don't know about you. If God's supposed to straighten out the outside, well, then he's doing a pretty lousy job. Because you know what? In the time of Jesus, you know, the Romans, when Jesus was there, they didn't stop occupying Israel. It wasn't like all of the Jews came and rose up. All the followers of Jesus had everything straightened out for them. It wasn't like none of them got diseases or none of them got persecuted. If anything, it went the opposite direction. And yet, so many times, we as Christians look for the Messiah, for God to come in and get everything straightened out there. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for someone who's ill, or wrong to pray for, you know, your spouse or your child or your parent to move in the right direction. I'm not meaning that. But I am trying to say that if your expectation is that God's going to come in and just straighten out all the things that sort of would make your little kingdom, your little world be okay, then I think you are probably going to be disappointed. Because what I believe God does more than anything else is he comes in as the Messiah to make you whole. And that's an internal thing, not an external thing. And yet most of us don't want to deal with the internal stuff. I mean, most of us, we've been having those conversations for years. Why should I give up that habit now? And yet, does it really work for you? Does it really work for you? You know, I had a guy come in to see me the other day, and he was like, "I'm so glad I don't have to be politically correct anymore." And I looked at him and started laughing, and I looked at him and I said, "Okay, so don't be politically correct. I don't care if you're never I don't care if you were never politically correct. But can you be kind and honest? Just be kind and honest. You don't need political correct if you're kind and honest." And he looked at me, I said, "Well, you don't. You don't have to be politically correct. Just always set yourself out to be kind and honest and loving and gentle." All those things that God tells you, that the scripture that you say you believe in, okay, tells you to do. If you do those, we don't need the rest of that stuff. And yet, so many of us, we don't want the internal thing changed. We want the external thing changed. You know, I had another conversation with another guy last week, and I started to laugh because he was saying how he needed patience. "God, please give me patience. I need to be kinder. It's just so hard. I got to take care of somebody. It's just hard." And I looked at him and I said, "Do you ever notice when you're unkind, how you get a hangover after it?" I mean, seriously, if you're unkind, you get a hangover after it. Because the truth of the matter is when you're unkind, usually your brain doesn't shut off when the event stops. And you keep talking it over and over and over and over again. You try and justify the behavior you had where you were unkind. And so you've got to justify it. So somehow you got to do this internally. And you just keep coming. You get less and less peaceful and more resentful. And you move further and further away from what you're called to be. And yet all of us participate in that behavior, don't we? I mean, think about it. You're in the parking lot. Somebody comes by you. You look at them. They take your parking space, or they just park too close to you. And all the way in. What are they going to do? They're going to scratch my car while I'm inside Publix? They're going to get me? What are they going to do to me? Okay, are they going to, you know, I got to go back there and I better check it. I better get in control of it. You know what? All that's trying to straighten out all the stuff outside. And what God wants is you to come to the inside and learn how to trust in a deeper and richer way. Most of us believe the fake news that our brains tell ourselves. And there's a lot of fake news that goes on in your brain. And the fake news is that, number one, everybody in the world is out to get you. Because the truth of the matter is, not everybody's out to get you. Some people may be, but not everybody. And the truth of the matter is God is a generous, bountiful God. A God that does not operate out of scarcity, but rather operates out of abundance. A God that's going to be there for you even when you're not there for yourself. And yet most of us don't want to live in that manner. We want the outside straightened out. God, please let my 401k really go up this year. I don't care about the rest of it, but if that 401k comes off, somehow I'm secure. It doesn't mean anything. Yet that's the way we live. That's the way we work. But when we move towards living in that sense that the Messiah that's come to you, the Messiah that's come to you is there to make you whole. And you let the self that you created work with the self that God made you. Then all of a sudden, you are beginning to move in a direction where all of a sudden, kindness does come easier. Honesty does come clearer. Gentleness comes. Love comes. Patience. Forbearance. All those things start coming in. You find that you nip your tongue faster than you've ever done before. And yet most of us, I don't want to nip my tongue. I want to say what I'm, because I better put myself out there. Well, you know who you're putting out there when you do that? You're putting the self you created, not the self that you were created to be, out there. And most of us don't spend much time at all putting the self that God created us to be out there. Most of us usually put the self we've created out there because somehow we think we got to protect ourselves. That's not what we're called to do. It's interesting because the gospel says real clearly, it says this. It says that when Andrew and the other guy are stalking Jesus and Jesus turns around and says, what are you looking for? What's their response? First they call him rabbi and then they say, where are you staying? They want something tangible. They want something tangible. They want to have, oh, let's get all our ducks in a row. Let's get it so I feel secure. I know where you're staying, and then I can get your theology, and I can do all that stuff. But what does God, through Jesus Christ, say back to him? Come and see. Come and see. Now, let me ask you a question. Is faith about the things that you see, or is faith about the things that's unseen? Because if you listen to the scripture, faith is about the unseen. And so the faith that we need, the faith that we're here to celebrate today, the faith that we're hopefully getting more of, is about the unseen. And that's the come and see part, not the where are you staying part. It's where all of a sudden you begin that process so that God molds and shapes you. He gets his hands on you, and you know, he's got his hands on me. He's not going to let me go. Even if I try and wiggle out of it, it's not going to happen. It's like all of a sudden you start to live in a different way. You begin to rely not on just yourself, but rather you'll rely and trust in a God, a power greater than you, to be there for you every way. You don't have to have those conversations in your head quite as often. Actually, when an event happens, if you're kind and you're honest, you can say, well, that's the end of that event. I can move on. I might be still concerned and I'll pray, but I handled it the best way I can. Can't do any more. I'm out of here. Come and see. Come and see the transformation that's going on. Because that's when you stop digging wells and you start looking for springs. A well is something that someone has to dig to get down to water. And what do they have to do? They got to figure out their own pump to bring it out. But a spring is something that you stumble on, that God shows you is there. And all of a sudden, you don't need any pump because it bubbles up right to you. God gives us springs. He doesn't make us dig wells. And yet most of us continue want to dig our wells because, well, then I did it myself. And it's all about not trusting. You see, there was a stirring in the spirit of Andrew and the other guy. There was a stirring of the spirit within them that day, I believe, to where all of a sudden Jesus was saying, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a Messiah that's going to fix your outside situation? Which, by the way, he still hasn't done it today. Or is he looking for a Messiah that was going to make them whole? They followed the living God to make them whole. They followed the living God, whose name was Jesus, so they could become what they were called to be. They followed that living God so they could stop having those third-person conversations. Jimmy doesn't like that. To where all of a sudden they could come into the place where they were at peace, no matter what happened in the outside situation. If you can tell me that your whole life has been one where you asserted yourself, you got it in order, and wasn't it wonderful, then please come and tell me how you did that, because I've never been able to do that. But there is a place where I believe that I'm walking deeper into trusting God than I've ever trusted before. Where I'm walking into where, you know what, the conversations I have in my head are a lot less, because you know what? The self that I've made and the self that God made me are starting to really walk together and be tight. And I've finally come to the place where hopefully I'm a little bit more congruent today than I was yesterday. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come seeking a Messiah that will make you whole, not just straighten out the outside. Because if that's the case, you're going to be like all those other folks that come forward, they lay their burdens at the altar, pick them up when they go back to their seat, and take them home with them again. Because that's what we do when we ask God to straighten out the outside. But when we come forward and we say, God, make me whole, somehow you receive the Holy Eucharist in a way that's true and rich and real, to where all of a sudden that presence of Christ comes within you, and that presence of Christ enables the image of God that you were created in, the self that God created, to be stronger, to gently and carefully bring in and embrace the self that you've made. And you live together, finally, in a way that makes you new. Therefore, if you are in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. How much new is coming into you from a daily basis? How much are you being transformed? What are you looking for? I hope you're looking for the Jesus that makes you whole. It's in the name of Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand with me.